The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you could make it. I was wondering after the first service if we are allowed to count the number of people who are watching us online as attending. I'll check that out with the bishop's office when they're back in it. We're looking at this reading today, and as I was listening to the gospel being read again, you have time to think when you're listening to this gospel passage being read and pray. And that verse really stuck into me a little bit deeper than it had in the previous, I don't know how many times I've read it in the last week. But it's really what this is about, is understanding that worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. And Jesus is really in this story in the gospel, Jesus is walking the woman, the Samaritan woman, through the process of understanding what it means to worship in spirit and truth. Jesus is a place where he shouldn't be. As a good Jewish man, he shouldn't be in Samaria at all. He certainly shouldn't be engaging with a Samaritan, and it definitely shouldn't be a woman, and more specifically, not this one. She apparently is engaged with several men and has perhaps a reputation for it. But either way, Jesus is in a place where Jesus shouldn't be. Even the woman knows that. Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." And the Samaritan woman says, "How is it that a Jew asks a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" She knows this shouldn't be happening. And it goes further as they move forward. And he begins to talk about this water. She's still in this process of understanding the water in the well. And Jesus says, "The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." He's talking about this living water. And she wants to know, "Well, are you greater than our ancestors?" And he said, "Yeah." That's not the terms he used. That's a paraphrase. He is greater, and he's going to prove it out. He goes, "I have living water. I have something that's going to nourish you in a way that this water can't nourish you." And she turns to him, she says, "Give me that water. Give me this water that you speak of." And then, at a glance, it looks like he changes the subject, doesn't it? But he really doesn't. Because the next thing he says to her is, "Go call your husband and come back." And a woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." Listen close. "What you have said is true." She should be our hero, brothers and sisters. When in the face of Jesus, the shame of her life is brought out, she says, "It's true." She admits her fault. Jesus said, she just put it on the line. And when Jesus said this, he goes, "It's true." All of the worst things about her, Jesus knows. And he just said it openly at the well. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't leave. He recognized that she had this situation in her life, and he stayed with her and continued the conversation. He says, in fact, "Believe me," after their discussion on where worshiping should take place, a place where she couldn't go to worship, "you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in spirit and truth." Do you hear what he just said to her? He basically just told her, "You're worshiping now. The truth is," and he's worshiping, she's worshiping in spirit and truth. because Jesus led her to a place to do that. She found a place where she was accepted, loved, and cared for, and not condemned. And that was sitting next to Jesus at the well. It changed her, didn't it? And she says to him, I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I am he. And she took off. His disciples came on to talk about food. He talked about other food, much like he talked about the water. They didn't get it. She went to tell. Not only did she go and tell, she said, come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? She was looking to get somebody to come along. She went to the people who, by the way, very likely were the ones who pushed her away. And she went to them and said, come and see. And what was her witness? He told me everything I had done. And they went, whoa, and he's still talking to you? Come and see this guy. And they're going, this we got to see. There's a Jewish rabbi sitting at the well who is engaging with this woman, and he knows all about her. We should probably go see what's happening there. And they did. Interestingly enough, in the midst of all this, as Jesus is talking about food, backing up just a bit, he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. That should be our food too. See, Jesus has led this woman from an understanding that she doesn't belong and she's untouchable and she has to come to the well in the middle of the day because she's been ostracized likely by every other woman. She can't come in the morning when everybody else comes to get the water. She comes in the heat when nobody will be there. She moves about in a way that keeps her on the outside, probably because it's been made clear to her at some point in her life because of the way in which she has lived it that she doesn't belong there anymore, but they just sort of tolerate her presence on the edge. Maybe you've met somebody like that. Maybe you are somebody like that. Maybe you've been that person at some point. And then Jesus offers the living water, the unconditional love that transforms lives, transformed this woman's life. And as he's talking to his disciples about it, he starts to talk a little bit differently about the work that needs to be completed. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. The living water. I don't know if anyone in the room feels like they can say, you know what, I have received this living water that Jesus Christ offers. Anybody received that? Living water, the moving water. Boy, we're going to be really not in the field reaping, are we? Let me ask it this way. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Okay, then you've received the living water. Here's the part that probably is making you a little bit nervous. What happens when you receive the living water fully? What did he say was going to happen? It's going to come gushing up to eternal life. Gushing up. So if all of us have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the living water is within us, shouldn't it be flooding the world? You could say amen to that if you want. Yeah, it should be, right? It should be flooding the world, brothers and sisters. That's what happened when this woman heard what he said. She went back to the people who had probably pushed her to the side and said, come and see. And they did. And they discovered that, indeed, this Jesus is the Messiah and received the living water. I hope it came gushing up. See, because we live in this world. We have been called and sent, let's put it that way. Being called, we can negotiate. Well, maybe it could be a wrong number. You've been sent, just like his other disciples. I've sent you. The question is, will we go and enter into the labor? If we have this understanding, if we have taken the living water, if we are living in a world that is unsure, they seem unsure. A time when the world is offering us a challenge that we're unfamiliar with, amen? At a time when the anxiety levels are at such a level, my phone is dead by noon. I'll plug it in, so if you need to call me, please do. At a time when our society is so anxious, you can't buy a roll of toilet paper. I get it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take your precautions. I'm saying you should. What I'm saying is this. There will be more, brothers and sisters. There will be more. There will be more for us to do. There will be more people who are looking and wondering and saying, where is this God you speak of? And boy, we should know where he is. The struggle is right now, we have put all of our hope into the world and into those within the world, and we're saying, you all got to figure this out fast. Now, I know that's not true for everybody. I know a bunch of you on your knees already asking Jesus, please, Lord Jesus, let's make something happen here. Amen? But we carry the hope, the living water. And I say to you, brothers and sisters, this day, if you have received the living water that Jesus is speaking of today with this woman at the well who received it and then poured it out, go pour it out. Let it come gushing up. If the world has ever needed hope right now, it's probably one of the biggest instances in which in recent decades we have needed to speak the hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? It will be for us to do because we have been sent. Amen.